Hello and welcome to The Two Tones, the official Carlton Football Club podcast with Tony DeVolfo.
Hello, Tony. You're looking remarkably clean-cut this afternoon.
It's called a haircut. I get them once a year. It's only because they wash my hair at the same time.
I like to refer to them as losses of weight.
So, well, you've got a fabulous head of hair there, Tony. Nothing for you to worry about. And myself, Tony Moclair. It is episode 19 for round 19. We're going to preview round 19 and review round 18. Some stellar numbers.
Episode 19, yes. We were just talking about this, weren't we, off air? And I know there's a player that... immediately summoned in your the recesses of your vast memory bank a moment ago, which you'll talk about, I dare say. But when I go back to 19, I think of, Eddie Betts.
Yes.
Who is the record holder in this Guernsey, say, Tony.
Yeah.
What a great player he was too, Eddie, but we shall move on. Now, Johnny O'Connell, the late John O'Connell, Premiership player in 1972, the man with the ball when the siren sounded to end the 72 grand final, one of Carlton's great victories, and a great friend of Bruce Doole's, I might say. Michael Young, now 40 years next year, Tony, since the 79 grand final was hard won, and Michael Young was a member of that 1979 team. He's not the best of health at the moment, Tony, so to Michael and his family, thoughts with you. And then if you go right back, Tone, you can go back to Rod McGregor, who played in a premiership for Carlton wearing the number 19 and is, in fact, Carlton's first 200-game player.
Ooh.
Rod Wee McGregor, one of the great centremen of all time.
And what era, Tone?
We're talking, go right back to Jack Worrell's era. So, you know, you're talking the early 1900s through to... The teens.
Wow.
One of the greats, Tone. And you had a player.
Oh, come on. Great man, Brad Pearce. The foil to Stephen Kernaghan in 1995. Deadly in front of goal. And can I say, a trailblazer of the man bun.
Well, that's a great call. I hadn't looked at it that way. So we've got Brad Pearce to blame, have we?
Well, no. I think he rocked it. I think he did well. How many goals in 95? He would have had around 60.
Oh, yeah, I think he had 60. So he can wear what he likes.
Yeah, exactly.
When he's slotting him through like that.
Yeah, with the will-o'-the-wisp character, or, you know, frame. Oh, it was amazing.
I can remember seeing him just tear Gavin Wanganeen apart.
That's always a good sight. Yeah.
Oh, it was superb. he was such an instrumental factor, wasn't he?
Yeah.
In that all-conquering... team that, in many respects, only seems like yesterday, Tony, but in others it seems like light years ago.
Well, speaking of light years, all right, let's get out the sharp scalpels and perform the autopsy as best we can, Tone. A 72-point loss by the Baggers to the old foe Hawthorn on Sunday just gone, at Etihad Stadium. It was a curate's egg, you'd have to say. Some parts of it were good. Some parts of it, there were four goals on the trot.
Yes.
You'd have to give it to Paulson for emulating Shane Warne's leg break on Gadding. That was quite a goal.
Yeah, well, that was right. Well, that was Shane Warne's first ball in England. Well, that was the Paulsonator's first goal in league footy, wasn't it? So
and the reaction of his teammates certainly attested to that. They ran from everywhere.
They did. Incredible stuff that was. So a goal from nowhere, literally from left field. But look, all credit to the Paulsonator. I like the way he attacks a footy and... he's not a big man, but he doesn't mind putting his head... where invariably it shouldn't go, and I do like the way he plays. And
he puts that head over the ball, much to the consternation of a lot of ladies.
Well, he does. He does. He's a favourite. Let's be honest. But look, I just love the way he's going about his business. He's a nice fella, Cam Paulson, too, and one of those blokes you wish every could will towards. Keep it up.
It was great to see that sort of game from him. He played with a lot more confidence, I think, than he has in the past. And he seemed a lot more sure or aware of his role. And, it was great to see him bobbing up in contests.
And look, it's a great point you make, Tone, because, you look at the 72-point loss. It's a fair old blowout. But a lot of the damage was done late. And let's be fair about this. To lose Jones and Fisher, early, and then having to make the late change, I think, with Thomas pre-match.
Yeah.
I mean, the players were under a fair bit of duress. And your point about Poulsen is very well made, because there are other players that I feel similarly are really starting to show signs that they actually belong there. Yeah. And I think with every game there comes this confidence. It's why we were talking to Lucy off air a moment ago, how disappointing it is that Fisher's gone now, just at that moment in his career where he's starting to string them together. And you know, another five games leading to next year would have put him in magnificent stead for the assault. However, you know, we realise that injuries are an occupational hazard at this level, and he just joins the ever-growing list. But getting back to what point you made about Poulsen, there's another player I think that fits the bill there, Tone, and that is Lachie O'Brien, because I think what we're seeing with Lachie O'Brien now is that he's starting to understand, like with his running patterns, how he pushes back deep into defence and starts to run that ball out. And what I'm really hard to see in him, and you may recall I mentioned the first goal he kicked, which was, if memory serves, against Brisbane at the Gabba, first goal he kicked for the year. He was hovering around the 50-metre mark and drilled
it. That was a great goal.
Great goal. Well, he was recruited basically because he was a power runner, but also he was a glorious Exocet missile-like left-foot kick.
Mm.
And on the weekend that he had, I had him down for four of the seven goals that Carlton kicked that were directly or indirectly set up by him kicking long into the forward 50.
Yeah.
And that capacity to kick long is a weapon that O'Brien has. And, you know, I think, like Poulsen, as he starts to get more confidence in the way he plays, we're going to really start to see him emerge as a really significant player for Carlton. And I know supporters will be, you know, sick to death of the term green shoots, but these are sorts of areas that you do look for at a time when, you know, the team, you know, are really struggling for results. But, you know, it's those players that really are the ones to take Carlton forward, and the more games they get into themselves, the better.
Well, yeah, that's why the loss of Zach Fisher is so hard. Same Hawthorn player who punched Cripps at the start of the game too.
Yes.
We know he got 5 weeks. But to lose Zach Fisher, who was just travelling beautifully, and again, I can completely hear what you're saying about, you know, the well-worn phrase green shoots, but the progress and the trajectory upwards, undeniably upwards, of players like Zach Fisher and Lachie O'Brien and Paddy Dow has been palpable. If we're going to take anything away from 2018, it's definitely that. The thing I had about them playing in set roles week in, week out, which you can do when a team is settled and not ravaged by the sort of injuries that we've had this year. Roles are reassigned and lineups change week in, week out, so it's hard to get players into a settled position and then knowing what they have to do week in, week out.
That's true. You know, there's no continuity. You're absolutely right. And while we're on the subject, you've raised it, the losses of both Fisher and Jones means that there are only two players still standing that have actually represented this club in all 17 matches this season, and they are Patrick Cripps and Samo Petrevski-Seaton.
That's incredible.
So it's incredible. And I'm looking down the list here, Tony. We've got 16 games to Ed Curno, Dow, Simpson, Wright, Charlie, Thomas on 15.
Yeah.
Then it falls away. You go down to the 12s, the 11s and 10s. Now, I'll talk you through this list. They say we've got more than half our list have played less than half the season.
Yeah.
So these are the players: Graham, Kerridge, McKay, Murphy, the captain, Marchbank, Poulsen, Lang, Cunningham, Phillips, Kerr, Byrne and Shaw. Lobb has played one.
Yeah.
And then you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 players: De Conning, Doherty, Glass, McCasker, McCready, McDade, Schumacher and Williamson that haven't troubled the scorer.
Yeah.
So when you look at it that way, we have been absolutely decimated. And of that group of players, there's 8: Cunningham, Doherty, Fisher, Jones, Phillips, Plowman, Alex Silvani and Williamson that have gone for the year.
Yeah.
So that gives you, I guess it puts in perspective how much the team as a collective has been under duress. And we know that all clubs get injuries, but I think where we are at the moment, we have a lot more difficulty covering those injuries. Our depth is truly tested, and And I suppose a lot of these bodies are young bodies, so you know they're learning to withstand the rigors of league football. And well, when you look at those list of players that are out, there's a lot of those players there that you do, well, I consider 2019 recruits.
Yeah,
these are players we just haven't had.
Yeah,
so you know, Soss can conjure his magic post the season, and we get some real talent into the club, and maybe some experience through the trades. We get those players back. Suddenly, Carlton is a new look entity, and it's got a benefit for the influx of all those players.
Yeah, and we just hope that you know the injury gods pick a harder target next year to vent their fury upon, because you know, just reading that list, it's like an injury list from the Somme. It's ridiculous. A couple of takeaways though from the Hawthorn game, they were playing for a lot more than we were. All things being equal, they had a top eight spot that they were desperate to cement. So if we got anything out of it, it was the conniption suffered by Alistair Clarkson at the start of the third quarter when he gave his charges an absolute spray.
Right.
It seemed to have done the job. But I think
the third quarter was probably Carlton's best.
Yes, and it was a terrific quarter to watch.
It was a terrific
four
quarter.
Goals on the trot.
And look, that quarter showed me that there is spirit amongst the players, because, you know, going into the main change, you know, there's this awful feeling that this was really going to fall away.
Yeah.
And yet there was spirit shown in that third quarter. And as I say, yes, it's 72 points in the finish, but I think there were mitigating factors there. Mm. And I do believe that the players, to a man, gave their all as best as they could under the duress that they faced. So we can't be too critical there, I don't think. There have been performances through the course of this year that have been truly lamentable.
Yes.
But I think in this particular instance, the players, it has to be said, did give it a red-hot crack.
Well, can we just single out Levi Casbolt, who, you know, again, his kicking's not the greatest, but I think he was proppy in the last quarter, but he couldn't be subbed. He couldn't be taken off.
Well, that's
Did I
right.
get that right?
Well, that's true. I mean, you know, and there's another great stat to emerge from that particular contest, Tony, is that Carlton fielded 12 players either 21 years of age or under.
Yeah.
Now, you know, do the math. That's more than half your team.
Yeah.
So, look, there are really, really, I guess, mitigating factors here, and they should be taken into account. We're sort of crawling towards the end of a long and tough season.
Mm.
The players, I think, has to be said, have hung in, you know. We'll talk about Patrick Cripps in a minute, but what he said about, you know, the players all experiencing these hard times will set them in good stead for when it turns and how enjoyable football is going to become for all of them. So I think, you know, if you look at the mental side of it, you have to commend the players for hanging in, because this has been annus horribilis, no doubt about it, in terms of results.
And you know, to be fair, we've experienced a few over the last decade and a half, but I think this one ranks as one of the worst.
One of the worst.
Yeah.
Just on the young fellows too, Lucy had made a good point off air that if you look at Dow and O'Brien more recently, all those players came back really well a week after being managed, as was called. I mean, Paddy Dow had a week's breather and came back really strongly. O'Brien had the week off as well, managed, and has come back and really starting to take on the game and making that, you know, the statement that, yes, I belong here. This is for me. So, you know, credit to the powers that be there for you know, being mindful of the young bodies and the taxing toll that the game takes on them, and managing them accordingly to withstand the rigours.
Well, I'm into that. Speaking of another green shoot, can we just throw the spotlight, please, on Jared Pickett's running goal? Wasn't that astonishing?
Well, look, Jared Pickett is one of those players. Look, he's clearly got tricks. And again, when you think of Jared Pickett and the year he's had, to fall onto his own hand at a training session and break it early on in the year, put paid to his season where he was really
he showed
good.
Some real dash he in did. The preseason.
He did.
Yeah.
And when you see that, Tone, that goal you refer to that he kicked, you know, you think, geez, if he can get a few games together here and really, you know, a solid preseason under him and get some fluidity with his games,
yeah,
he's gonna be a great player,
yeah.
A dangerous player. And one of those players that you would pay money to see. He's just one of those fellows that, like so many others, just needs a little bit of luck with injury. And let's hope that he can get it right for 2019.
Exactly. So, look, again, there was... Yes, it's a disappointing. It's always disappointing to lose. It's disappointing to lose by 12 goals. But the highlights reel of that game for a 12-goal loss... I like the highlights, I've got to say.
Yes, yes.
Now,
yes.
Tone, I'm going to ask you to give us your three votes for the Two Tones Player of the Year.
Well, I opened up, Tone, and always a lovely move to acknowledge one vote, Jakob Vieri.
Yay.
It's great to mention his name.
Yeah.
I thought he was terrific. Stood Jared Ruffin, if memory serves.
Yeah.
And I think what was a feature of his game was his capacity to intercept, which means he was reading the play absolutely superbly.
Yep.
And thinking about it now, with Jones out of action, I mean, Jakob at his tender years has to take on an added responsibility now. I thought he was fantastic. It really, really showed signs that, you know, he's going to be the mainstay for a very long time in Carlton's back half. Two votes I gave to Matt Kennedy. Again, another player that he's been cruel with injury.
Yeah.
But, you know, the man that provides size and strength and alongside Patrick Cripps, who, let's be honest, has been
godlike
this year.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tony. And three votes to the man himself, Pete Cripps. I don't know what the votes are in the Two Toes medal, but I think he's a shoo-in. It's fair to
think
suggest.
He might be.
And look, you would be. It'll be interesting to see how he fares with the men in white or yellow or green, whatever they wear these days.
Yeah,
because I know
he's featured the men and women in black.
Oh, that's true. Men. That's true. So, yeah. I stand corrected, Tony. Thank you. How will he poll? In we've only won one game for the year, so that will go against him. And yet. Through the course of the year, he has featured prominently in the coaches' votes.
Yeah.
So that, to me, is a good sign that, you know, that they still acknowledge the way that he has played this year. And it's been a phenomenal season, hasn't it?
Well, I'm sure it's the, you know, every match committee or every coach this year is asked when playing Carlton, the first question is, who gets Cripps?
Yes.
And they ask that question for a very good reason. I'm glad you mentioned Kennedy. He had a terrific game, and that hardness, you know, was on display.
Yep.
And you know, his intelligence and his commitment to the contest.
Very good.
Yeah,
I
was very happy to see that. And that's another good sign for next year.
I awarded two votes to him just for you, Tom.
Good on you. Now, of course, we know about the injuries. That's Jones, Liam Jones with a knee, Fisher. They're both out with season-ending injuries.
Correct.
So that is not good news there. But again, they're not Robinson Caruso in that regard.
No, they're not.
Here at the Carlton Football Club. You mentioned Patrick Cripps. There's not an episode of the Two Tones that doesn't go by that we don't lavish praise on him, and rightly so. I want to draw a comparison between 1P Cripps and the fact that he re-signed to this football club, which has had one win this year. A contract was put under his nose. He signed it for 3 years, which is a massive endorsement of a player of his calibre who arguably could walk into any team if he wanted to. I want to compare him to Tom Lynch. Tom Lynch, who is a great player, don't get me wrong, but I don't want to whack him for the sake of it. But, Tom, what sort of look is it when your captain is openly meeting with the coaches of other teams?
I hear what you're saying, and I understand what you're saying, but I have to be truthful. I feel a bit for Tom Lynch.
Yeah.
Because Tom Lynch has been put into this situation by the laws of the game.
Yeah.
So I suppose it's more a case of how you handle it. And I suppose the pressure's now on Lynch to, are you with us or against us?
Mm.
And we don't have to go too far back in time to remember the moment Lachie Henderson...
I was reminded of that.
The players here that he was finishing up, and they said, "Thanks very much, Lockie. Goodbye. See you later." And I understand that, as brutal as it was, that you know, you what do they say? You can't be half pregnant.
Yeah.
You know, you're in or you're out. There's no in between. And I understand the circumstances behind that moment in time here at Carlton, as unsavoury as it was.
Yeah.
But I see what you're saying about Tom Lynch, and you know that would be a real dilemma, I think, for. I think the Gold Coast coach, but also the players, how do they deal with that?
Well,
I don't know.
Yeah, I think you'd be in two minds about following your captain's lead. If there's an old Chinese saying, "Tone a dog cannot have two masters," and it at the moment seems like Lynch is in that invidious position.
Well, yes, maybe so. But thankfully, our man, as you have quite beautifully articulated, is. Saddling up again for Carlton into 2019, 2020 and 2021. How lucky we are that Cripps has signed on. And what you said is correct. That is a vote of confidence in the team,
yep.
The club, the coach, and where the club is heading. So to the Cripper, we dips our lids to you, sir. It's great news for the club. And
because it was the apocalyptic scenario, wasn't it, if Cripps had decided that he was going to take that enormous talent elsewhere.
Well, that's right. And, you know, and on the strength of Sir Charles Curnow, you know, committing for, what is it, a lazy five.
Yeah.
That's just brilliant, you know. Yeah. Someone said the other day, there have been three great things that happened this year. Cripps re-signing, Charlie Curnow re-signing and beating Essendon, and never a true word was spoken.
You'll take that. Well, now, speaking of the Gold Coast Suns, Carlton takes them on at 7:25 PM Saturday.
Yes.
It's an away game, Metricon Stadium.
You're not flying up for the summer, are you, Tom?
Oh, look, as much as I'd like to, no. But it's we've played this team 10 times. We have the balance of the victories.
Yes, and they tailed us last time we played them.
Well, Lynch absolutely destroyed us.
You know, I was talking to Shane O'Sullivan before, name dropping somewhat today, but anyway, I was talking to him before, and we were making that very point, how Lynch had made an art form of banging on goals against Carlton.
Yeah, from outside the 50, contemptuous.
Well, that's right, and thoughts turned back further to Port Adelaide and Warren Treadray. Treadray always used to dine out on Carlton, which annoyed me no end, Tony. I was offended, to say the least. So we don't have that issue, Tone, obviously this time around with Lynch out with a long-term injury. But you would have to think that given the circumstances in which he faces, is a decision imminent? You know, is he staying or is he going?
I guess being injured is obviously going to make a difference there. I would imagine they're still going to play very well without him, there's no doubt, because they're coming off an upset win against Sydney.
They are. It was a great win.
Yeah.
On the SCG, any win up there is a good win, no doubt about it. For the good guys, Tone, you'll note that in the mix is Dale Thomas, Matt Cruiser, Harrison McCready, the boy from Henty, get a call up for his first game, I think, for the year. Paddy Kerr is back on deck and in the mix, as is Sam Carey. So all those players I have mentioned are facing tests pending their availability for selection this week.
Well, look, we just hope. No, we expect. Carlton expects that every man will do his duty.
Yes, no doubt. You know, any man that dons that dark navy blue need do nothing less than look down and say, "I've got a job to do this afternoon." Tonight. We expect a four-quarter performance from the team. Every game provides a young player with another opportunity to cement his place. You know, in a year where seasons end, brutal decisions will be made. We know that. They always are. So, you know, maybe there are players that will be selected this week that are playing for their football lives. So you want to see desperate men perform desperate deeds. That's what I want anyway, Tony. And I don't intend to kick another television set in this weekend.
No? What's the season's tally thus far, Tony?
Yeah, I've gone through about 14 pie 50 centimetre numbers this year. Harvey Norman loves me, Tony.
Yeah, all right. That time again, Saturday, 7:25 p.m. That is Metricon Stadium. And Saturday, so I'm not sure if it's free to wear. I know that the blockbuster of the round is not free to wear. Being the Collingwood Richmond game.
No, well, if you Saturday night's free, Tony, you're in the area, you're welcome to come around and watch it. I'll put on the party pies.
Always happy to take the hospitality of the DeBolfo household.
Thank you very much. Could I also mention, Tony, that last Saturday, prior to the Hawthorn game, there was a lovely occasion here where the past players and officials were invited back to watch the final training session here on the hallowed turf, and then share a moment with the current players and Brendan Bolton afterwards. So last week we had some of the greats come back. I can recall, I'm name-dropping again, people, but Alex Marcoux, Warren Jones, Ian Robertson, Jeff Southby, they were all there. It was great to see them in the house.
Yeah.
Vin Cotoggio was there. A lot of past officials. I can recall seeing Ken Kleiman, who I think is now 91 and was a long-serving property steward. You'll find Kenny Kleiman in that great black and white replay of the 70 grand final, hugging Barassi at siren time. He was there.
Yeah.
There were a lot of really good players there. Being part of the fabric of the place again that they loved. And the common observation that was made from the past players I spoke to at the time, Tony, was, we're here not because we're on top, but because we're down the bottom. Mm-hmm. And it's strength in numbers at the moment that the club really, really, you know, feeds off.
Mm.
And it was terrific to see all those players lending support. Bob Crow, another player from the 50s and 60s, hadn't been back since he played his last game in 64. So it was an opportunity for him to sort of take in the old ground and be photographed with his children, his grandchildren, his old number 14 locker. Great story about Bob Crow. He was recruited to the club from Mentone as a forward. And at some point in his career, Ken Hands, the coach, made the call, go back to the backline, son.
Mm.
He wears the number 14 now of Liam Jones, who similarly, Brendan Bolton, was told to go forward from back. And they met after the training session last week and compared notes. It was lovely to see the two players do that. And for those players that had come back after all these years, it was a great moment for them to say hello to the likes of Cripps, Curno, Mark Murphy, Marchbank, all the players. And I think the younger players too got a sense of the history and tradition of Carlton and what the club actually means to men that have long ago retired as greats of the game. So it was a nice occasion, Tony, and it was an absolute privilege to be there.
Oh, you lucky man. And can I just use this opportunity to urge anyone who has never seen it, get on YouTube, please, and watch Alex Marcoux talk about which year's team visiting the Lodge. Was it 81 or 82?
I think 81 they won it.
Yeah.
And basically, I think that was the occasion that half of the Lodge's cutlery service was removed. I think the incident happened in 82 after the Prime Minister in his wisdom said, if you win it again, we'll invite you back.
Yeah.
So Malcolm was quite a glutton for punishment because they won it. They did come back. And I think the story you're alluding to happened in 1982. It is one of the extraordinary stand-up routines you'll ever wish to see, isn't it?
Alex Marcoux would have to rate as one of the best after-dinner speakers ever produced by Sporting Code in Australia. He is absolutely outstanding and the story is hilarious. So,
and the amazing thing about Alex Marcoux, Tone, I will say, is that I don't think he realises how funny he actually is.
Oh, my God. Boy, has he got it. And like, you will do far worse than watch. I'm saying, do yourself a favour. Please track it down on YouTube and watch it because it is great. That's all we have for today. I trust that we will be back here in a week's time, Tone.
Yes.
Dissecting a win over the Gold Coast Suns.
Wouldn't it be lovely, Tone? I mean, we, you know, that's all the club really wants at the moment. All the supporters, all the members. just a breakthrough victory would be the panacea, wouldn't it?
It would.
Just the tonic that we need, to warm, the soul, And at the moment, I'm experiencing the football roller coaster, Tony, because my local team, the Amateurs, the old Paradians, they're in D2. And they've gone 14-0. They're undefeated on top of the ladder, and so I go to see them play on a Saturday, and I come away with the chest puffed, and then unfortunately I rock up to Etihad, and it's sort of the hangdog by half time. So we want that to change. We want it to change now, and we demand that it changes. So you have spoken, Tony, and so have I.
All right, as I said, hopefully we're back in a week dissecting a victory. If not, we love our club regardless, and we will return in a week's time here in the Two Tones. Thanks to our producer, Lucy Jamieson. We will catch you next week, and go Blues.
Go Blues.